Hello, this is Paul Bromwell, and you're listening to ARN. And I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of the Spine Buster. He's Double A, the enforcer, Mr. Arn Anderson. Arn, how are you doing this week?
Well, you forgot to say, and the wearer of my first t-shirt with my son sharing it with me.
Look at that. That's the mirror picture, right? Where you're looking in the mirror and he's looking back at you.
It is. It's a little story within itself. I'm a proud papa.
And they can find that where at the shop AEW, right? That's an AEW shirt.
That absolutely is. And they were responsible for some of this artwork too, and clearing it to make a t-shirt out of it. It's a cool little message, I think.
That's fantastic. ShopAEW.com to find that t-shirt, Arn. I tell you what, man, he is the spitting image of his daddy for sure. So very cool shirt.
Yeah, hopefully he'll grow out of it.
For his sake, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Arn, listen, thank you for letting me step in once again for Conrad and continue your path through your career. And we're bringing it forward to May of 1986. You ready to get this going this week?
Yeah, man. And, you know, during this time, there was a lot of cool stuff going on. There was an episode that I don't think I've discussed that I think would give a chuckle to some people. And I'm not sure exactly what month this was, but it was right in here. And it was before my grandmother died and before I moved her to Charlotte and shut down the house and all that. Let me just say that during this time, I was wrestling Dusty a lot, and my money had went up about 2.5 times. So me thinking now that I was Mick Jagger and was going to be a big rock star, I decided I would go down to the Cadillac dealership and just go ahead and buy a new Eldorado Cadillac. Brand new on the showroom floor. And buddy, it was beautiful. It was like a wine colored interior and a wine and trimmed in white. And man, it was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. And I pull up at my granny's thinking she's going to come out and do a gainer and go, geez, I'm proud of you, son. Good Lord. You made it. Da 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 da. She looked in the car, looked around, and said, take it back.
Oh, man.
And she turned and walked back in the house. And I followed her in, and she looked. She was sitting in her chair rocking. She said, check to see what the insurance is going to be on that. What's the payments on that? What happens if you get hurt? You're going to get paid? And, man, she just bombed me with a dose of reality.
Yeah, wisdom.
So guess what I did? Took it back.
Mm.
Got the car I traded in for it back. They were a little pissed over at the Cadillac dealership, but in those days, they said, you know, hey, take it home for a day. You know, if you don't like it, you know, bring it back. No one had ever done that, apparently, but I did. And man, that's just the kind of lady she was. She was straightforward. So I took it back and that was it. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
I love it. I thank you for sharing that story. Isn't it something how when you think you arrive and, man, we're going to impress mom and dad or grandma or grandpa, we're going to show them what we've accomplished in life. And then the years and the wisdom of them kind of looks at you and says, kid, what are you doing? Right?
Suddenly, when you think you know something and you got a clue, they let you know that you don't know nothing.
You still don't have a clue. That's good stuff. Thank you for sharing, Arn. I love it.
Yeah, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
I like it. Well, you'd get back on the road here in May, and you start off in Columbia, South Carolina. And when you talk about a dose of reality, you're fighting Wahoo McDaniel at the Township Auditorium. And you've talked about him before, Arn, but can you put into context what it's like knowing you're about to go head-to-head with Wahoo?
Well, Wahoo was just anybody that's been in the ring with Wahoo, it's you know, it's not a high-flying affair. It's a slugfest. and he had established himself in the Carolinas to the point that, you know, they believed everything he said, believed everything he did. And he was getting, you know, starting to get a little bit, you know, up in age. But, buddy, he could still stand in there and throw those chops. Now, where they were going to land, who knows? Depending on how bad his shoulder was that day. But it was an honor to fight him there because the audience just, they believed.
Did anybody throw a stiffer chop than Wahoo McDaniel?
The closest thing, and probably at that level, is Haku. Mm. And he and I were best friends. And man, when we would work together, he would he would go, "Okay, fat man." And brother, he would crack me. Mm. It felt like somebody hitting you in the chest with a brick. Wahoo, same thing. Big, thick hands. Was no not thanks. Fun. Was yeah. not fun.
No thanks, Arn. Mm. Well, from there, you're off to the scope where you're second from the top of the card. You defeat Ron Garvin, another guy, physical, brutal, and Flair and Ricky Morton are the headliners. How big a deal is it to see someone like Ricky Morton, who's been considered a tag wrestler up to this point, being placed on top against Rick?
Well, if you look at a lot of teams throughout history, the ones that were really top teams, you could easily split those guys up. And I'm not saying all of them, but most of them. And they were incredible performers on their own. You know, you could take Ricky and Robert, split them off and put them with anybody. And they were just tremendous performers. And Ricky Morton was as hot as anybody in the company at that time.
He sure was, and you could hear the screaming and the girls screaming for him in the crowd anywhere the Rock and Roll Express was, and he was on the mic red hot, and it just made sense. Hot babyface versus any hot babyface versus Ric Flair seemed to make sense back then. So you have them at the top of the card, and then it's Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling May 3rd when you and Tully hit the mic. Here we go. Let's listen to this clip.
All right, fans, with me right now, here is the World Television Champion, of course, Arn Anderson. And Arn, you, the World Champion, the National Champion, all of you have been, you've been sort of trying to hurt guys, Arn.
What you've
been
doing so much. Is a case of Rocky Canoodle overmatching himself against the National Champion coming in here, Tully. I'll tell you what we've done, Bob Cottle. We've just showed guys like Ricky Morton exactly the pain that Dusty Rhodes has felt. Exactly the pain that Garvin's felt. The pain that Sam Houston's felt. Anytime you try to instigate or intervene into what the Three Horsemen are accomplishing all across this great country of ours, that's what happened to you. Ricky Morton, all you were was a candy gram to the rest of the country, the rest of any man that puts a pair of tights or a pair of knee pads on. That's what he's got to expect. Tell him about it, Tully.
You know, I tell you, you just saw an example. Somebody that I may have took a little bit lightly, who got a little bit uppity in the ring and had to be slapped down. And that's just what I did, because I can turn on like that, baby. Turn on like that. Anybody the Three Horsemen take lightly, we can turn on and slap down and show them the dirt that they are. Ricky Morton, you look in the mirror, you think about it. Dusty Rhodes, you look at him, you think about it. Anybody doesn't think the Three Horsemen are where it's at, you got another thing coming.
All right, fans, now back to the ring.
A candy gram, Ricky Morton. Love it.
Oh, man, we were smart asses, weren't we?
That's what made you great. That's what made you great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were allowed to be ourselves. We were allowed to create, you know, the characters. And it's funny, you hear the Three Horsemen, but at that time, you know, everyone knew the story of where Ole was. And it didn't sound funny, but it just reinforced, okay, there's Three Horsemen. There's going to be a fourth. It's just a question of when.
Well, Arn, a little later on, Mid-Atlantic, again, this is May 3rd. You're facing Rocky Canoodle. How was it to work with him in the ring?
Well, he was good. He was along the lines of a Tim Horner. He was a talented guy. He really was. He was just used in a bottom position. And mostly in the Carolinas, I believe. But he was a talented guy. It's a funny thing. In those days, as long as one guy in the ring was getting over or had gotten over, you could have a opponent that hadn't, let's just say, hadn't been used that well. hadn't won a lot of matches, and you could go out and have a competitive matches, and it would pull that guy up to another level. And, you know, with him keeping his same position. And when you had talented guys like that, that were around and that worked for the company, you would go out and utilize their skills. I would try to have a match, a good match with a guy like him or Sam Houston or, you know, George South, you name it. If you're bouncing up and down the card, I would try to have the most competitive match and create myself an opponent. And if you didn't do that, you're just foolish.
Well, your match with him would end the show. And by the way, you can hear the heat. Let's go to the clip and check it out.
And that'll give him a little time to recuperate from the sleeper and the other beating he's been taking. Of course, he's in great condition. And he's going to fall out and try to do some more damage to Canoodle. The world TV champion. And acting again like he's the three horsemen, doing that damage on the outside of the ring. Here's Don Canoodle now walking around. That's wise on his part. And as they continue to go at it, we've got 30 seconds remaining in the program. Fans, remember, Canoodle on the outside trying to make an effort to get back into the ring. He's been thwarted by the World Tag Team Champion. Listen to our crowd with a go down, go check.
Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling is a presentation of the JCP Sports Network and has been furnished to the station for broadcast at this time in exchange for commercial consideration.
And Canoodle has him down with a neck breaker and iron crank to the ropes once more. Oh, this is so close. Canoodle several times, almost had him, Bob. And he's got the champion on the mat. Can he pin in here? Less than 20 seconds, 15 seconds now remaining. He's got to roll up. Over, saved again by the rope. Canoodle continues his attack. Arn fighting for his life in there right now on his feet.
What a way to go off the show, man.
I loved it when those, you're just got a hell of a fight going on and we're out of time. And
we got to get out of here.
Yeah, they're just... and just go off the air. And it was like, oh, I can't wait till next week.
The cliffhanger. Come on.
It was. And it worked every single time.
It did. It did. And the classic calls at the end, whether it was Shivani or later Jim Ross, it always just had us, you know, all stir crazy in the house as kids watching it. So I love it. Well, Arn, he'd work the TBS tapings against Randy Mulkey. Mulkey has some internet fame from his tag team with his brother Bill and how they were perennial losers until that Crockett, how they got into the Crockett Cup tournament. What were they like as workers, Bill and Randy Mulkey?
Well, you couldn't hurt them. They were like Gumby and Pokey because, buddy, those guys got bounced around and, I mean, crucified. And in a sick way, I think they liked it, to be honest with you. Some guys just, you know, appreciated the fact that maybe they were stuck at the level they were going to be at, but they could certainly go out there and create something. And what those guys created was, hey, you could throw them off of a 10-story building. And if you looked over the edge, you weren't sure, you know, you thought they may be dead, but maybe not, because they were resilient and they came back every week and they started to develop a little bit of a cult following.
It reminds me of the old cartoon with the Wile E. Coyote where he just kept getting hit and beat up and the lump comes up on the head and all that. And they just keep getting killed, but yet they still keep coming back. The Mulkeys, you can destroy them.
Great example. They lived in Anderson, South Carolina. So, you know, they were homeboys and, they really worked hard. That's for sure.
They earned
their money.
There
you
go.
Yes, sir.
Bingo. Well, later that night in Greensboro, you defeat Nighthawk. Nighthawk is better known as Joe Coltrane. Any memories of Nighthawk or working with Joe?
Joe Coltrane.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember that guy.
He didn't work a ton. I did a little research to see if I could find some stuff, but he was here and there, popped in for the Crockett's just here and there. But Nighthawk was a guy that showed up, worked here, and then he was gone, and he moved on. Nighthawk made his way out.
I apologize to Nighthawk for not remembering, but in those days, brother, we were redlining through life. We were on the end of that lightning bolt. So,
buddy, no worries at all. We'll talk about what happened next. So,
okay.
Moving on, the next day, you're in Philadelphia. It's you and Wahoo McDaniel once again wrestling to a time limit draw at the Civic Center. And let's pretend a little bit here for a second that you're not flying at any time this point. If you were driving, Arn, that's 1,725 miles over 3 days. How much of a toll does all this travel take on your body?
Oh, God, it'll kill you. You know, there's nothing like going out and beating your body up for 20 hard minutes. But you know, it's a different kind of fatigue than sitting in a car for 5 or 6 hours. And depending on what car you had bought. Now, in those days, we were still in that era of buy a small car that was good on gas, because predominantly we were going to be driving. That was one thought process. There was a top guy thought process that said, get you a big car to where you and three other guys can be comfortable. Because if they have a luxury car, and you know, guys were still paying trans back then, 4 or 5 cents a mile to ride with somebody else. So if you got in their Cadillac, and man, it was roomy, and you had, you know, nice stereo, plenty of room, and then they got in your Toyota Corolla, that was a heated issue when it was time to swap it out. You know what I mean? So, you know, guys started to make money around this time. And I'm telling you, the parking lot at Jim Crockett Promotions was something to behold, because guys, some of them had made money before, but this was the first time making money for some guys. And man, guys were buying homes. Guys were buying cars, and you would pull in that parking lot. You'd see Barry Windham's Porsche sitting there, Dusty's Mercedes. You would see JJ's Cadillac. Ricky Morton had a 900 Saab. Forget what Robert had. Magnum had a Porsche. Tully and I went down and bought, you know, 300E Mercedes. Hell, Tully bought two in one day. So if you're going to drive, now, one was for him, one for his missus at the time. If you were going to make the trips, and we were still predominantly driving a lot of towns based out of Charlotte, man, you better have a nice, dependable car. You better have one with some get up and go, because it was loaded down with two or three wrestlers in their bags. A lot of things to consider in those days. And to answer your question, you know, you get in the car after beating your body up, and now you got another 4 or 5 hours with that air conditioning blowing on you, trying to cool down. And one other thing that most people don't realize is you had that air conditioner blowing on you, buddy, to keep you awake. So out on those desert, you know, on those deserted roads, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, you needed to stay awake. And even in the wintertime, you would never cut that heater on, because what does it make you do?
You're
sleepy.
That's right.
You know, and it was as big a part of your job was the travel and getting there safe and getting everybody else there safe and being on time, and all that was as much a part of your job as the wrestling end.
So if you're in the car and you're driving with other wrestlers, a lot of talking, or are you listening to tunes?
Well, both.
Okay.
In those days, you would try to travel with who was compatible with you. And man, you would talk about each other's matches, and you would become the booker for a minute. And you would go, hey, man, I liked your match tonight. This one part, you did this. Have you ever thought about doing that? And we would help each other, and we would start to lay out stuff. And You know, we would talk things over, and maybe something that didn't look good, you would tell a guy if you were close enough to him, hey, you might want to take that out. That's not doing anything for you, you know. And a lot of guys got better from talking to guys that were more experienced than just riding down the road, talking about stuff.
There you go. Well, Arn, you're back in Greenville the next night. Okay, so you continue this travel, and you're working Wahoo McDaniel again to another draw. So you were just with Wahoo in Philly. Now you're back in Greenville. Then you scoot over to Spartanburg, South Carolina at the Memorial Auditorium on the 6th for a TV taping for Mid-Atlantic, where you face Rocky King. But first, you cut a promo alongside Bob Cottle. Here we go.
Garvin, and of course Arn Anderson, the man right here, the world television champion, who will be putting that championship belt on the line. Arn?
Well, Bob Cottle, if I don't reiterate on what happened to Baby Doll, it's simply because Baby Doll has nothing to do with the three of the four horsemen. Do you understand what I'm saying? She has no bearing on the outcome of what we're trying to achieve and are achieving. What I want to talk about is people the likes of Ronnie Garvin, Wahoo McDaniels, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Magnum TA, and last but not least, you, Dusty Rhodes. All across this country, you get on national television and you threaten to take this world television champion. Well, what happened to you, Houston? What happened to you, Rhodes? What happened to you, Magnum? And last but not least, what has happened to you, Ricky Morton? You get into three of the four horsemen's business, Bob Cottle, the eventual end is always the same. You're getting hurt, you're putting your reputation on the line, but I want to say one thing. At the end of these matches across the country, people have had the notion of running and stealing my belt. Don't embarrass your family, don't create grand larceny. If you want to be the world television champion, just beat me for it.
The world television champion, Arn Anderson fans, into the ring, we have the junior heavyweight champion, and there's the championship belt around the waist of the champion, Denny Brown.
There you go. My favorite phrase, just beat me for it. So tell us about Rocky King before we get to the next clip. Any memories of working with Rocky King?
Rocky was a character. He, you know, all the guys liked Rocky. He used to travel with Jimmy Valiant, of all people. I saw that, you know, quite a bit. Credible body. Kid was jacked. He was athletic. He was green. He was inexperienced, but I mean, he was strong. You know, you couldn't underestimate him and just think you're going to go out there and run over the guy, you know, because he may decide to turn it up and turn it on at any point. And buddy, I mean, you go back and look at the physique on the guy. He was just cast in that, you know, opening role, and that was about as far as he made it.
All right, let's take a look at Rocky King and Arn.
And every time you turn around, you're going to see me.
Chief Wahoo McDaniel, the championship belt that he's talking about, is in the ring right now, fans. There it is, right around the waist of the world television champion, Arn Anderson.
And you don't want to be in the shoes of a man that Wahoo McDaniels is after, whether it be gorgeous Jimmy Garvin or Arn Anderson right now. Seems that Wahoo's got his sights set on another world belt. This is a world television title match, Bob.
And the opponent, Rocky King. And Johnny, you got to say this. You got to give the devil his due. And Arn Anderson has certainly been a fighting champion.
Oh, yeah,
he's defended
that championship time after time. He said he was going to defend it time after time against all of top talent. He's defended against some good ones. But where's the Rhodes? Where's the Magnum? Where's the Waters right here on this television? Where's the Ronnie Garvins?
That's a good point, Johnny. And all of those that you named, of course, they would love to have that belt also. Not only is Wahoo says, is that the second most prestigious belt? That belt means a lot of money. Rocky King with a drop kick hard to Arn Anderson as he came out of the corner.
Oh, but the world champion caught him in that backdrop situation. He sized it up. One of the three horsemen, and they've done a lot of damage lately, but they got belts around their waist.
As he lift King high to the air, Johnny Wright flat down on the face.
And a three-count does it. The winner of the match, the world TV champion, Arn Anderson. We're going to see it in slow motion one more time. A patented move by Arn Anderson. He's going to raise it high in the air.
got that boogaloo going, I see.
There it is, Arn. Another big win for you against Rocky King. I hear Johnny Weaver starting to try some drama there, saying you're not defending against the guys. Obviously, he's not paying attention to what's going on the road there, okay?
Yeah, apparently not. He just did TV. It's easy to say that.
I know,
that's
right?
Your point of reference.
Well, my goodness. That was another good match by you, Arn. You're on top on the eighth again in Concord, North Carolina, and a benefit this time for Northwest Cabarrus Boosters Club against Dusty. How often did you get to do these types of scenarios where you're doing these benefit shows? Was this rare?
Not really. It was occasionally. And if it was for a good cause, we're all on board about that. You know, most of us had kids or starting to build a family. And when you have children, you look at things that benefit children completely different. And we were all glad to do our part and benefit whatever they got going.
There you go. Well, you were on, like I said, on top of Dusty for that one. Then we move on to May 10th. You're back in Atlanta for TBS TV, and there's a Wahoo interview about you. And then you and Flair defeat Carl Stiles and Bob Owens in 5 minutes. Let's take a look at this one.
Flair. Perfectly executed right on top of the forehead. When Ric Flair wrestles, you're talking about execution. All of his moves, perfectly calculated. Back of the ropes again, Anderson. That time, Bob Owens got him with a foot, and now Carl Stiles, well, I was going to say, comes in. He really tries to come in. Good leg takedown. Now right on that hamstring. Now grinding away the knee.
Got the double A.
Still working on the leg now. Double A Arn Anderson. Wahoo McDaniel has set his sights on Arn's World TV title. You can better believe Wahoo is a man who, when he sets his sights on something, really gives all of his concentration efforts after. Right hand, that's right to the side of the head. Flair with that gigantic chop once again. Arn now with the leg, right to the knee. It's Ric Flair and Arn Anderson in a tag team match here today. We'll have more action right after this short break, and we'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Fans, welcome back to an abbreviated version of our second part of World Championship Wrestling. As Ric Flair has some words to the fans, Arn Anderson continues his destruction on Carl Stiles in the leg.
Sounds like we're heading for figure four. What do you think, Paul?
Flair, right hand to the midsection. A little momentum off the rope. Flair goes right to the leg again. It's obvious setting this up with the figure four. On the knee. Flair, center of the ring with him. There it is, the figure four leg lock. Ric Flair, it's Carl Stiles in it, and that's it. Pee Wee Anderson calling with the bell, and Ric Flair and Arn Anderson win this tag team event on World Championship Wrestling.
There it is. You said it, Arn. You were working on the leg the whole time, and you knew it. Oh, I know what we're doing. I'm setting them up for the figure four to close it down.
Yeah, you know, any time that you could be partners with Ric Flair at that point in time, you know, what an honor and a privilege it was. He was the hottest thing in the wrestling industry, arguably. And, you know, to be his partner and out there, it just was one of those things. I had to pinch myself sometimes. Bob, what was his last name?
Bob Owens.
Yeah. Yeah, I know his last name, but let me tell you something that history may have written in different places. I've seen him get some credit. That guy had as good a punch as anybody in the wrestling business. And I'm not kidding you. Man, he would reach out there and that thing would crack you. And it was awesome. That was his one claim to fame. He was a good performer, good wrestler. But, man, he had a punch, and it was classic. Go back and look at it sometimes. It was a class act. And if I remember right, Carl Stiles was a big, healthy man. So it wasn't like we just had a couple tackling dummies out there. These guys had some talent.
So for those of you that are watching the video version, maybe you got to see, Arn and I are just listening to this today, but maybe you got to see the old Bob Owen strike. My goodness. But didn't know that about Bob Owen. So there you go. Arm breaking off a nugget there for us.
I like to give credit where credit's due. And, buddy, he had a tremendous punch.
There we go. Well, Arn, Jimmy Garvin and Precious are interrupted by you on TV on May 17th. But it's not the way you would normally interrupt someone. Check this out.
Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Precious, and I know the big chief, we just saw him a few minutes ago.
Did he just about make you sick? I can't believe that, Wahoo. You come out here asking for Arn Anderson when you haven't even finished dealing with me. In fact, you haven't even started dealing with me. And speak of the man himself, here he is, Double A. How the heck are you doing, man? It's nice to see you.
I'd just like to say a few words to Gorgeous Jay. You know, Jimmy, in defending my world television title, I've been overlooking the fact that you were here, not really overlooking it, but I've had so much responsibility, I hadn't been able to come out here and give you a formal welcome, tell you you're doing a heck of a job, and explain a couple of things to you that maybe you don't know. You know, the big chief has been out here threatening me, yourself, and your lovely lady here.
Right.
And the one thing you got to realize is he's like a big snowball or an avalanche coming down that mountain. You got to cut his water off right away before he gets rolling. You understand what I'm saying?
He's a smart guy. I told you. I've told Precious all about you, you know, and you're exactly right. You get him started, you got to stop him before he does some damage, and that's exactly what I got in mind of doing. You know, it takes smart people like myself and yourself there and Precious to realize what kind of man Wahoo McDaniel is. I mean, do you realize he was just out here talking about you, saying how much he thinks he could be the television champion, how much he thinks he could be the national champion, all that, and I swear it just about makes me sick to my stomach.
You know what the key word was? He said he wanted to be world television champion. Not that he would. He said he would like to be. Well, Big Chief, there's people in this world that have things like right here, and there's people that want things. And Big Chief, that's the bottom line. You're going to continue to want things, just like Rhodes, Magnum, and the Rock and Roll Express. Maybe she should go up there and have a closer look at him. What do you think?
All right, they're talking about this man. There he is in the ring.
Going up there and see if that man can wrestle. Going up there and see if he's as tough as he is.
You'll
see Precious up there to scout. Well, I'm going to have her scout. You know what I mean?
What was it like working with Jimmy and Precious?
Great people. We had a little mutual admiration society going on there between Jimmy and I, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes you sick. Like to throw up in my mouth. But it was definitely apropos. I did have a little bit of hair envy, maybe a lot of hair envy. Man had a great head of hair, got to admit. And a talented performer. And him and Patty were great together. So he was just a good guy to be around. And just a lot of fun, just pleasant people.
Well, Arn, you're still working the Wahoo program. Did you ever tire of working with him? And what I mean by that, I'm sure the physical abuse got a little old, but were you enjoying every bit of this Wahoo program?
Sure. I mean, and when you hear the amount of times that we're working together, if on the surface you go, God almighty, aren't they, in the audience getting sick of it? Are they getting sick of wrestling each other? No, because it was a different town every night. You know, it was a brand new crowd, a brand new reaction, and you would go out and every night was, even though your opponent was the same, it was just like it was brand new. You never got tired of somebody that had the following of Wahoo McDaniel because the audience was always behind him. And, the only thing that would keep you in a fight with that guy, I'm going to just tell you, because he's a killer, was the adrenaline rush you got from the audience. And that came from his fans.
Well, Arn, you and Jimmy Garvin have formed a fast friendship, or so it seems. And Wahoo's in the ring. He's going to get a win against his opponent. And you and Jimmy Garvin hit the ring and attack him to save Precious from Wahoo. I want you to take a listen to what happens here.
And there's the win. What about that? Hey, wait a minute. Now Precious is up
there. After what happened to Baby Doll, I don't trust that Indian. I'm not going to stand by. I'm going to go keep an eye.
Oh, from behind, there's Jimmy Garvin, who is Wahoo McDaniel from behind while he was talking to Precious. Wahoo with that right hand turns Garvin around. There's Arn Anderson. He gets a couple of chops. Both of them now go at the Chief. Anderson flips him to the mat. Jimmy Garvin, Wahoo McDaniel stomping with Wahoo on the mat. Garvin and Arn Anderson just stomping and kicking away at Wahoo. While Arn holds him, Garvin's got to pound him. Wahoo's got to get some help, and here it comes. Charging into the ring to rescue Wahoo McDaniel, a whole handful of his friends, and he really needed them at that moment. Arn Anderson, Jimmy Garvin pounding away at him as they had him double teamed and they were holding him, and we can go back and watch a portion of it in slow motion, fans. Here is Wahoo on the mat.
Being you love this music, don't you?
Pounded by Garvin while he is
spin up on your head one time, Paul.
That music gets me every time, Arn. I can't help myself.
Can you spin up on your head for me one time?
They don't want to see that on video, trust me.
I want to see it.
Yeah. Well, there we go. It's another Arn and Jimmy Garvin working together, attacking Wahoo, and then the enforcements would hit the ring, clear you guys out of there. And we're having some good storytelling that's happening here with you guys. And we're going to continue to move on, though. It's on to Charlotte. It's Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. It's a TV taping. And you're now getting involved with Ricky Morton versus Ric Flair. You're at ringside. And their match is going to go 18 minutes and it runs off the air, as it typically does. But later on that night, you're going to defeat the Italian Stallion. Let's take a listen to this one. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about Italian Stallion. Let's check this out first.
Here we go.
Now you can really tell it being up close. He has so much confidence in his ability. He walked in that ring. He had a few things to say to the Stallion. A little bit of intimidation right there.
Oh, yes.
He is so confident, Arn Anderson, that he can win each and every match. And that's very important for any athlete to be like that. Yeah.
Tony, you know, that match starts as soon as you walk out of the dressing room. You know, which wrestler is going to come out first? How long does that wrestler that's out in that ring has to stand there before the other one comes out? The way the man walks to the ring, he looks at the other wrestler. It is something. The young man, stand, takes it, flips him out, good move. He has to stay on him though. All right, now see, there, Tony. The Stallion just waited a little bit too long to go in after Arn Anderson, gave him time, put that knee right in the midsection. Now he starts to pound away.
Just goes to show you what a couple of years more in the sport will do for you as far as your ring savvy. And better believe it, if you're a member of the Anderson family, you got plenty of it.
Yes, you do. Tony, we were talking about Philadelphia. Starting on July 1st, the Great American Bash.
Oh!
Gourd Buster.
Gourd Buster right in the center of the ring.
That is it.
No more Italian Stallion in this match. He was real confident coming into this match, and here's why.
He is an Anderson. He is tough.
And he is still the world television champion with an impressive win, David, right here. Fans, once again, watch the Gourd Buster from Arn Anderson as he makes quick work of the Italian Stallion. Arn Anderson's your winner. He is still the world TV champion. We'll have more action right after this timeout.
He is an Anderson and he is tough. He's built for tough. That's Arn Anderson.
Right.
So listen, you take out the Italian Stallion. What are the first few things that immediately pop in your head when you hear the name the Italian Stallion?
Well, a lot of people weren't aware, but Stallion had a side job besides breaking in the wrestling business, and he was a good amateur, big, strong guy. He probably weighed 265 pounds, and just more so than weight strength, you know, weightlifting strength. You just walk in your house and pick up your refrigerator and walk out with it, that kind of strength. But he was, now I'm just going to, you know, this is rumor and no names mentioned, but if you owed somebody money and you didn't pay up, Stallion is the guy that they sent to collect the money. Let me just say that. We kind of called him a, you know, a leg breaker, but it was ribbon on the square. He never would admit to it. He would just smile. But, you know, if you were sitting there with your family eating dinner and you looked up and there was Stallion standing behind your wife, you better pay off. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I feel it. I get you.
And I don't think a lot of people knew that. It probably couldn't be proven, and I'm not calling any names, but let's just say he was a handful in that ring.
Mm. He looked like he'd be a fun guy to go out and eat a nice meal with, though. I mean, he looked like he knew how to eat.
Oh, he can eat.
Yeah.
And I think that was another one of those things that was like a trait of his that people just knew that he could really mow down some food.
Mm. So I'd like him on that side. And yes, Paul's bringing up food again, guys. Some guys are going to give me a hard time. You can't have a podcast without talking about food, can you, Bramwell? Well, listen, on to some more fun, and it's you on the mic. Things are moving to the summer, okay? You knew that was happening. We're in May, and when it's summertime and Jim Crockett Promotions, it can only mean one thing, sir, and it's bash time. So we're about to listen what's on your mind, Arn, as we start to move and think about the Great American Bash.
Every night of the Bash, right. Joe Ely's going to be there.
Joe Ely, Delbert McClinton, it's going to be a great birthday party. The best in family entertainment, fans. The Great American Bash is coming very soon. The best in wrestling, because we're going to have all very the top bad. Stars in wrestling, including this man right here. He is the world TV champion. He'll be a part of the Great American Bash. Here he is, Arn Anderson.
Yeah, Tony Giovanni, the Great American Bashes are coming up. I don't need to have to tell you or tell the people about the severity of the event. Probably the greatest sporting event ever in history all across this nation. But right now, I want to give you a recap, Tony Giovanni. I want to give you a recap of a dynasty. I'm talking about the Four Horsemen. Some time back, I told Magnum TA right here on national television, don't get caught alone, Magnum. You saw the consequences. Sam Houston stuck his nose in our business. You saw the consequences. A broke arm. We told Dusty Rhodes, your leg is on the line. You saw the consequences. We told Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, that they're in bed with the big dogs. They're out in no man's land. You saw what happened to Ricky Morton. He is now the human scab. Gibson, you're next. Well, Tony Giovanni, I'm going to be defending this world television title, hopefully in all the bashes across this country. But right now, I want you to listen real tight. I want everybody that's within listening range to listen real tight. Dusty Rhodes, everybody's been asking me, where's the fourth horseman? And they've been asking me in a sarcastic tone. Well, I've just been given the word, the fourth horseman is on the way back. And we're guided by James J. Dillon, and you know what a mind he is. So, Dusty Rhodes, at some particular point in time of our choosing, I'm talking about the city, the time of day of our choosing, there's going to be a rebuttal for what you and the Road Warriors did. The fourth horseman's coming back, and that's going to leave you, baby doll, a rebel without a cause, if you get my meaning.
All right, he said the fourth horseman is coming back. Let's go to the ring.
The fourth horseman is coming back. And we're going to get into that in June, I'm sure. But listen, the Great American Bash, how big were the plans for this year? Can you imagine the excitement? This is 86, the Bash, just kind of the buzz. Can you talk about that a little bit for us?
Well, yeah. I mean, business, you know, now that new, fresh talent that it came in, you know, the Buddy Landales, the Arn Andersons, the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, the Garvins, all those guys, you know, now we're looking at, you know, those guys haven't been there a while and things were starting to come together. And, you know, the Russians were hot. It, you know, a lot of talent were really catching on. And this was a time that guys were, you know, drawing money. Guys were making money. Guys were buying. Everybody was buying houses. You know, I bought my first house in 86, you know. I never thought I would ever, you know, be able to say, hey, I'm going to have my own home. I'm going to own my own home. And, you know, I bought one in 86. And it, just everything was clicking. The business was as hot as it could be. Everybody was having fun. There were no negatives. And at that, you know, you could say, well, God, y'all were traveling yourselves to death. But it was along this time we're starting to get those private planes in place. And once you hop on a private plane, the world changes. And that's for sure. So, I mean, everything was coming together, the bashes, you know, with the entertainment that was involved in going to outdoor stadiums. It was just, it really was. It was like Led Zeppelin on tour.
I was going to say a rock concert, a wrestling rock concert.
100%.
Well, you're at the Omni on the 11th. It's you and Robert Gibson. That went to a draw. Then you move over to Greenville on the 12th. You team with Tully against the Rock and Roll Express. Also ends in a draw. And then you work with the Rock and Rolls again on the 14th in Charleston before losing to Ron Garvin in Baltimore, Maryland at the Civic Center on the 17th. Did you have any issues losing in a non-title match to Garvin?
I didn't have any issues losing to Ronnie Garvin under any circumstances because he was just that good. It wasn't like it was a shock. Yeah. You know, on any given day, if I was able to come out of a match with anything less than getting beat, I looked at it as a victory. If I could just fight him through the 20-minute time limit, time ran out, that was a victory. Ronnie Garvin was a tremendous performer and a tremendous wrestler and a tough son of a bitch. And anytime you step through the ropes with him, you know, if you got beat, he was just a better man that night. It wasn't like it was eye-opening or shocking. You know, you had to be at your very, very best just to hang with that guy.
That's right. And it's non-title, and he didn't win the title. You're still the champ. Whatever happened, happened. You're moving on, as you said.
That's right.
All right. So then you're moving on to Asheville, North Carolina. You're in the Civic Center. It's the 18th. You're bringing back against the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez. And then you move on to Greenville Memorial Auditorium, where Ricky and Robert defeat you and Tully in a Texas tornado match. And then it's on the Rock Hill, South Carolina. You're going over on Manny Fernandez once again. But here comes a big TV match between, you guessed it, Wahoo McDaniel. And as you say, with a time limit, first, let's get to this promo. This is a good one, Arn. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be later on in the program, but listen, we've got a very special match, and one of the men is standing over there right now. I'm talking about Arn Anderson. He is going to defend his world television title against Chief Wahoo McDaniel.
Well, David Cracker, we don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but the one thing I told you is when I won the world television title, I would be the top champion the people deserve. I would go out every week, I'm talking about every week, and defend this title against top challengers, not just somebody that I handpicked, right or wrong.
That's correct.
Have I done just that?
Yes, you have.
Okay, Wahoo McDaniels, you want to get back in the mainstream? You want to make a rep for yourself right here in front of a billion people? I'm going to give you a chance.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the ring.
Well, we're going to go to the ring. Arn, you defend the title against Wahoo, and let's go to the last 3 minutes of that match. Here we go.
So not only is he some punishment, he's taking a lot of punishment in this match. Trying to get him up. Oh, he tried. Come on, Wahoo. You can get over there.
Trying to get over. Here it is.
Lays across him. All right, kicks out. Just in time, rolls out of the ring.
Boy, you're right.
He's asking, what's the time? See, he's stalling.
That's right.
Time runs out. He'll still be the champion. You've got to beat him. He doesn't have to beat you. Staying outside as long as you can.
comes in. Wahoo heads right there. Snaps him back. All right, Wahoo needs to pull him in. Pulls him to the center of the ring. Picks him up. Backbreaker. Hits his leg. Hits back. Rolls out of the ring again.
Once again, Wahoo needs to go after him.
Look around. He wants another time. Stalling. Now Wahoo realizes he's got to do it.
A foot on the rope that saved Arn Anderson from losing that world TV title, David. Well, David, we saw he had him pinned right there. We're going to take a look once again at the Big Chief. So close here. Here is the pin, but watch to the right of your screen the foot. There's the two count, and there, right before the three count, the foot goes on. Later, Arn Anderson will be disqualified. Wahoo McDaniel wins, but Arn's still the champion.
Still getting it done. Still the champion. That's all that matters. Right here, Arn?
Tommy Young is an exceptional referee. You can't. Nothing gets by him. And ring awareness is one of the keys to being successful in what we do. That foot over the rope. Perfectly legal. You have to stop the count at that point. To me, it's just being smart, right? Saving right. yourself, saving Absolutely. The title. And as far as the disqualification goes, I'm sure that Big Chief was bum rushing me. I probably just bent down to get out of the way of something. And over the top he went. And in those days, if you threw somebody over the top, it was a DQ. So everything was on the up and up. It may have looked like something shady happened, but all within the rules.
Well, on TV on the 24th for Mid-Atlantic, Tully and you team up to defeat George South and the Italian Stallion. And the very next day, Arn, you're in Cleveland on the 25th, and that has you putting over Dusty. Robert Gibson gets destroyed by you and Flair. And then you and Flair actually have a fun little promo here. Let's take a listen to that one.
We all stood right here and saw what happened to Robert Gibson. He was carried off, obviously, with a serious injury. And two men, Arn Anderson and the world champion Ric Flair, very happy about it.
Tony Giovanni, what you just witnessed is Robert Gibson getting in bed with the big dogs. You understand what I'm saying? It's reason real easy to come out here and pick your opponents, Gibson. You want to get in bed with the four horsemen, then you got to pay the fiddler. Now, Dusty Rhodes, I want to hit you real hard right now because the bashes are coming up. And you're talking about coming out here and standing women on their head. You're talking about being the dealer. Well, all through tradition, Dusty Rhodes, in order to be the dealer, you got to hold the cards. And as you see, here are the cards, along with Tully Blanchard and the Midnight Express. So you want to be the dealer, Rhodes? Forget about being tough on a local level. Right. Come get the big dogs.
That's right. But Dusty Rhodes is the toughest guy in studio wrestling I've ever seen in my life. You come out on here, Big Dust, and tell him how bad you are that I got to deal with you. Well, this is the dealer. This is the dealer. And it's mine. And little bitty Ricky Morton knows it. And Gibson knows it. Ha, ha, ha. That's right. A lot of guys try to walk the line. And you know what? They get their butt beat. Because when you go to bed with the big boys, you're going. going to feel some pain in the morning. You understand? Now, Road Warrior Hawk, let me tell you something, buddy. I've walked over better men than you to sidestep a good-looking gal on the way to the restroom. What you don't like about me is that I'm rich. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know where you were born? In the gutter. You're trash. You grew up lifting weights while I was whining and dining. Ooh, beautiful women. And let me tell you something, buddy. Listen real close. You are Chicago gutter trash. I am affluent society. We are the world champions. And Hawk, when I see you in Philadelphia at the 30-minute mark, when you're going, please, Nature Boy, finish me off. I can't lift these big arms. And then in the words of the great one, what caused all this? Woo!
We'll be back right after this.
Oh, my goodness, Arn.
And that is my line, by the way, was causing all this. He may have made it famous, but it's my line, damn it.
There you go. That's Arn's line, damn it. Here's the one line that caught me. Okay. When you go to bed with the big boys, you're going to wake up in some pain. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't meant that way.
Oh, that just got me. Oh,
you know, there's something
he's going to say.
There's something terribly wrong with that man.
There is. But I tell you what, you wind them up. It's like one of those toys. You just wind them up and let them go and give them a camera, a microphone. You never know what's going to come.
Well, out. Yeah, you absolutely never know what you're going to get. That's for sure.
Entertainment. I'll tell you what.
Always going to be entertaining for sure.
Well, Arn, it's Greenville, South Carolina. This is a big angle. I remember it. It's the Memorial Auditorium on the 26th of May. You're on top in an elimination match. Dusty, Ricky, and Robert defeat you, Tully, and Flair, and Morton gets the win when you guys attack Morton and break his nose. What do you remember of breaking Ricky Morton's nose? Remember, and he had to wear the mask on his face.
I think that actually went down in Greensboro, didn't it? Or was it Greenville?
It said Greenville, South Carolina here in the research.
Maybe
notes.
It did. It was down in the locker room area. Downstairs.
Yes. I remember the cameras were going backstage in the locker room and you're mashing his face on the floor there, the concrete floor.
Yeah. Yeah. That concrete was pretty unforgiving. Broke his nose, you know, scraped up his face pretty big, pretty bad. And we got a lot of mileage out of that.
Yes.
A lot of kids did not appreciate it.
I got a clip here I'm going to play of this whole angle. Here we go.
Some more cities where the Great American Bash will be coming. That's right. Plus, we're going to have Bob Geigel's going to have an interview discussing Ric Flair, the World Heavyweight Champion, and the Great American Bash. Now, Tony, we talk about Ric Flair, about that. There's something. Ricky Morton and Ric Flair, and what happened between those two men.
David, we're going to take a look right here at something that is really hard for us to look at because it's something that we don't like to look at, but it's Nature Boy Ric Flair. Once again, injuring Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express. Let the fans take a look at it and see exactly what we're talking about, David.
All right, there you see right there. Ricky Morton goes off, catches Ric Flair. Ric knocks the referee out.
There's no doubt about it. Ricky Morton has gone toe-to-toe with the heavyweight champion of the world.
Has him down for the count right there. You can see it. That's a count of three, pass three. Now look, here they come. Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, the three horsemen.
What can you do in this situation? It's 3-on-1. Right now, Ric Flair gaining his senses. We're going to see James J. Dillon coming in just a second. But then we're going to see a part, which I'm sure wrestling fans all over the world will moan at seeing. And David, take a look at this.
All right, he gets up there. Look at that. Knee right across the head, rams his face right down the mat.
Right down to the mat. And the news is that at this time, Ricky Morton, a very severely broken nose, shattered his nose with all the weight of Nature Boy Ric Flair with a knee on the back of the head.
Now, Tony, the thing is, Ric Flair and his guys, they went after Dusty Rhodes. They broke his leg. They continued to do it. They went, Ricky Morton, they rubbed his face in that concrete.
That's not all that they did to Ricky Morton right there.
We're going to take a look in just a few minutes at some more punishment dished out by the World Heavyweight Champion along with the Horseman. David, we're going to take a look at that in just a few minutes.
All right, let's go to the ring right now.
And Punky Morton would be born, right, Arn?
Yeah, buddy. You know, he had guts. The man had balls. He didn't mind stepping up. You know, and we told people in those days, Paul, you have no idea. When you have the world's champion, Ric Flair, as a member of the Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard, myself, J.J. Dillon, Ole Anderson, when we're all wearing gold, and a man steps up and says, I'm going to take that world title. Our job was to help protect that world title because with that clout made a lot of things possible. And we weren't just going to let Ricky Morton walk in there and, you know, possibly steal that championship from Flair. I mean, we told people up front, you jump on one of us, you jump on all of us.
The Horseman was a brotherhood in that way.
Family, 100% family.
Well, we move on to wrap up the month of May, Arn, and on the 28th, you defeat the Italian Stallion again in Raleigh. And then we move on to a promo for you that you and Telly have together to help set up the Great American Bash. And we're going to play that real quick as we start to close down the show this week.
Champion Arn Anderson, the national champion Tully Blanchard, in a six-man elimination match against Dusty Rhodes and the Rock and Roll Express. When the man is pinned, he must leave the ring. Could have a three-on-one.
You know, what you have is the three horsemen, the three people that make professional wrestling revolve and happen in 1986. And on the other side, you have some would-be people that want to be something that they're not capable of being. The Rock and Roll Express, like all those little bitty teeny girls, huh, Arn? Exactly. And then, but you know, one of them keeps getting beat up and scarred up and uglier and uglier and uglier. And so they got to go get help. Big Dust, please come help us. Please come help us. What they don't know is the Big Dust has had the broken leg, too, due to the Andersons.
But you got to remember, Dusty, you scream and holler about being the dealer. But if you're going to be the dealer, you got to have the cards. You look around, the World Heavyweight Champion, National Heavyweight Champion, World Television Champion. We're dealing the cards right here.
I hope that the talent of today's wrestling generation listens to this podcast or at least goes back and watches your promos, Arn, and the Four Horsemen's promos, because the authenticity, the fire, and what you guys brought, that's how to build wrestling angles. It's education right here. It's college courses.
Well, and the one thing I hope somebody or everybody takes from this is the one thing you do is you take part of your television time and you make your opponent as big and as powerful, you know, and as successful as you possibly can. Make him huge because when you go to war with him, if you don't,
who cares if you beat him?
You've got less than
right
instead of more than. And when you create your opponent, it just makes everything else fly. It makes the match bigger. It makes the event bigger. And it's just good business. Always create your opponent.
Well, Arn, at the last TV taping here in the month of May, there's a big debut in the form of Big Bubba Rogers.
Great trouble.
That's right. Jim Cornette's new bodyguard. What did you think of seeing him in this new role for the very first time?
Now, he grew up about 35 miles from where I grew up. How about that for a small world? Wow. Little town in Georgia, close to Rome. I think it was 35 miles or so. But he was just a 350-pound hay baling, just raw bone strength and smooth and quick. I mean, athletic as he could be. Go out and try wrestle number one in tights and gear and all that. It's hard enough. Try wrestling in a full suit with a tie, you know, the whole shooting match. Not easy. And that just lent more credence to the fact that guy was a hell of an athlete. And man, he was strong and he's one of those country boys that when he said, I'm going to kick your ass, you're going to get your ass kicked.
The face you just made was priceless.
I mean, he was a huge addition to the industry. Let me just put it to you that way.
You got that right. He would make a name for himself as Big Bubba and then go mainstream as Big Boss Man. And what a character he became. So, my goodness, lots of fun stuff on the way, Arn. But this has been fun this week. We went down memory lane, talks all things May 1986. But next week, Arn, you and I are back, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to be doing something together that hasn't been done in about 6 months. Yes, we're bringing back Ask Arn Anything. And my goodness, I'm sure we're going to have plenty of questions to choose from. You looking forward to that one?
Yeah, we will see. And again, I'm operating off memory on this stuff, guys. So, work with me here.
We'll have fun. It'll be good questions. You do your best. That's all our listeners expect. And then the following week, we'll get back into June 86. I think Ole Anderson will be making his way back in. But it's going to be fun. We appreciate all the support, by the way. And if you are enjoying Arn, which I know you are, you're here, you're listening every week, you can find even more of him over at adfreeshows.com. Arn can agree. It's by far the best value in wrestling. Not only do you get to hear more from Arn and do some live events with him where you can ask him questions, but you also get some bonus shows. Arn and I are going to record another bonus show here in a little bit, and you get to be a part of those and interact with him, but you also get exposure to guys like Eric Bischoff and good old JR and Tony Schiavone and Jeff Jarrett. You get the idea. It's a full-scale community of people just like yourself and that you get to connect with as wrestling fans. So check it out. adfreeshows.com. Get all 7 podcasts early ad-free and on video. You get to see all the fun faces Arn made, us having a good time looking at each other, talking through this stuff. All the wrestling matches that you listen to, you can watch them all for just 30 cents an episode and lots of good content over there. Guys, support Arn Anderson. Support the show. You can find them on YouTube, Arn Show on YouTube.com. Find all the great clips or introduce the show to your friends. And find the man on Twitter and Instagram at The Arn Show. That's on both Twitter and Instagram, as I said. And pick you up one of those badass shirts. You're seeing them everywhere. ArnShirts.com. I think my new favorite might be the Old People Are Dangerous shirt, Arn. You like that one?
They absolutely are.
Well, Arn, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you letting me join you this week.
Well, thanks. And hey, guys, don't forget AEW. Times are changing. Don't miss an episode.
What you're doing right now, you're slapping that young Rhodes boy around a little bit, and I can't wait to see how this all shakes out, man.
Nut cutting time,
Arn Anderson style. This has been Arn. For Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you next time on Arn.